Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. It's our truncated Quattro de Mayo edition of this particular radio show. We're going to be talking about the Moby Dick Variations. UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance is putting on yet another show, and this is one that you'll be interested in, the Moby Dick Variations. Does it open tonight with previews, Dylan?
It actually opens tomorrow.
Opens tomorrow right here on the UC Davis campus. And I've got Dylan Bowles here. He's a composer who's going to tell us about this show. I'd also like to remind you that tonight is poetry night here in the city of Davis, and Greg Glasner is going to be reading his poetry tonight. Born in Anson, Texas, Greg Glasner earned a BA from Hardin-Simmons University and an MA and MFA from University of Montana. He's the author of a number of books, including From the Iron Chair, which won the prestigious Walt Whitman Award. It's just about the best award that your book of poetry can win if you're a young poet. And he'll be reading tonight at Bistro 33 at 8:30 p.m., 8:30, a new time. Open mic starts at 9:30. I'll be there. Perhaps I will see you there as well. So when we return, we will have some funky jazz and Dylan Bowles to tell us about the Moby Dick Variations here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Hope you're having a happy May. I know that I am. And reminder, tonight's Poetry Night at Bistro 33 with Greg Glasner. But boy, you've got a great opportunity to see a fun show this coming weekend. Someone stopped me in the coffee house last week on the UC Davis campus and said, "Hey, have you heard about this Moby Dick Variations? You've got to see it." And then I went and researched it a bit more, and I discovered that this production is rated R. Well, that's always exciting for Dr. Andy listeners who have been clamoring for more risque productions, or so I've been told via your email and phone calls, offered by the UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance. Well, now is your chance. Conceived by John Zeibel and devised by the company, the composer is Dylan Bowles, and he's here in the studio. Dylan Bowles makes performances with people and environments, many of which involve the design and construction of new musical instruments and the cultivation of co-creative relationships based in listening practice. His activities include a wide range of performance-based collaborations, time-based arts, installations, and sound compositions. Dylan is currently a doctoral candidate in performance studies at UC Davis. And his Thingamajigs performance group emerged from long-term collaborations among individual ensemble members, utilizing unconventional musical instruments. TPG combines world folk and traditional music with modern technology and performance practice, creating pieces in a collaborative process that sometimes incorporates voice and multimedia elements. This ensemble expands and contracts for each performance situation. He's got a performance situation coming up starting tomorrow. We're going to ask him about that. Dylan Bowles, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. So for folks who don't know, what is or what are the Moby Dick Variations?
Well, it's a devised theater piece, which means that it didn't start off with a script. The material has been generated during a rehearsal process. But obviously, based on and inspired by the great novel Moby Dick. So there's a starting point and then there's a process of generating material which becomes the show.
Excellent. So the original idea for the show was conceived by John Zeibel. Who is John Zeibel?
He's a director in the MFA program here.
Excellent. Yeah. And what sort of parameters were there for the show? So obviously the Moby Dick Variations, there's one of the central themes and contexts. What were some of the other goals or limitations of the Moby Dick Variations?
Well, my conversations with John and my kind of collaboration with John on the project had a lot to do with the idea of scores and scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So in the kinds of music practices that I do, there's a lot of scores for improvisational environments. So, like a traditional score might give you a set of notes, whereas an instructional score might give you a set of things to think about or activities to find a way to accomplish.
Right.
So we started working together to design scoring strategies for working with actors and with text that were some things that I'd been using to work with sound and some things that he'd been exposed to during his training as an actor and a director. So kind of putting those things together and then allowing the cast to really run with them and find their own voices and their own material.
That's wonderful. I know that increasingly there are some TV shows, and I think Larry David has done this with Curb Your Enthusiasm, where he works with very strong actors. He gives them a sense of what they want to accomplish in a scene, and he gives them no lines. But the actors are well practiced at playing those characters, knowing what they would do and how they would respond to stimuli. And then they're put into a room and someone else walks in, and it seems so much more authentic because of the fact that it's not preordained through some sort of script.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got talented actors, then that can be very exciting. If not, you might have a lot of people standing around. And so I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about your own sense of, like, fear, exhilaration, indeterminacy, discovery, innovation, improvisation, these sort of things. How do these things mix up for you in terms of the work that you do on a show such as the Moby Dick Variations?
I guess two different things because of two different sets of experience.
Mm-hmm.
John Zeibel has been doing an exercise with the cast called Give and Take. And in this exercise, you either give space or give the floor to another actor, or you take it away by interrupting them. And there's a set of rules, like, you know, only one person can be talking at a time, or maybe two can be talking at a time. And so this is a practice for the kind of thing you have to be able to do in this kind of a performance environment that we're setting up. Everyone has strong material, but there's a real sense of multiplicity all of the time. There's many things going on all of the time. And that's inspired by what Melville's doing in Moby Dick and the experience of kind of being at sea.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know exactly which bit is going to have the energy in a given time,
right,
a given place, right? And you have to be able to practice to become aware of of where the energy is and to let that happen or to take it because you know that this is your time now.
Right.
Right. As far as the music, these kinds of environments are environments that myself and the other musicians I'm working with have put ourselves in and practiced being in for many, many years together. So our preparation for the show is a little bit different than the preparation that's been going on.
Because you've been preparing for many years for exactly this sort of work.
Right, and we do this sort of work on a fairly regular basis. So it's a different environment for us to practice in,
mm-hmm.
And a very unique environment that we're excited about. But it's not like a shift in our kind of paradigm of
right.
how we operate. Yeah,
you didn't need exercises to find out what it was like. You had
right.
already lived thoroughly what that was like.
That's right.
Now, from what you're describing, does that mean that every presentation of the Moby Dick Variations is different in some way from the day before?
Yes, it will always, yeah, it will always be different. And I think, you know, part of what's going on in these last couple of days is figuring out, it's kind of like with freedom comes responsibility, right?
So it's
figuring out just how much, how open do we want to keep it and how much do we need to set things down so that there's a kind of a tension between what's known and what's unknown.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Dylan Bowles is my guest. He's a musical composer who plays an important role in the Moby Dick Variations. It's a show that is being presented at the Vanderhoof Studio Theater at the Mondavi Center, starting tomorrow evening, the 5th of May, and running through the weekend. And does it run the following weekend as well?
Yes, it does.
And so the following weekend as well. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, one or two shows on Sunday.
One show on Sunday, matinee.
Matinee at 2 o'clock. Great. And if you want to find out more, you can point your browser at theaterandance.ucdavis.edu, or you can visit the website for the Mondavi Center. You can also find out more about tickets there. We're going to take a quick musical break, and then when we return, some parting words from Dylan Bowles. My name is Dr. Andy, and you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. It's always fun to talk jazz while we're off mic with someone who knows music and who knows jazz. Dylan Bowles is here. He's a composer who plays a very important part in the Moby Dick Variations. It's a show sponsored by the UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance. It opens tomorrow evening at the Mondavi Center in the Vanderhoof Studio, runs through the weekend, and then next weekend as well. So the Moby Dick Variations, it's rated R, as I already alluded to. Dylan Bowles, what would be some other compelling reasons why one would want to head over to the Mondavi Center and see this show?
Honestly, being titillated by the R rating is probably not
not gonna
be satisfying. But if you know, I'm planning. I read Moby Dick when I was quite young, and when I decided to work on this project, I had to decide whether or not I was going to read it again.
Right.
And I've decided that I am going to read it again, but I'm going to read it after the production. And so I think whether, you know, most people have some relationship to Moby Dick, and what we've done to the narrative and the themes should be really interesting for anyone who's at all interested in the novel. We've been really free in some ways with how we're in many ways with how we're approaching ideas of character and content, but we've also tried to be really true to the spirit of the thing, or what we've figured, you know, what we've kind of divined as the spirit of the thing. Other reasons to come are this is a kind of a theater experience that you don't get much. Audience seating is by choice. You can move around. There's different seating options around the space. The elements in the show are a mix of, you know, there's dancers, there's musicians, the individual talents of the cast members have been put into play. So a lot of the process has been a process of finding out what people are good at, what people are interested in, and giving them a venue or a forum to figure that out. And you're also very, very close all the time, as close as you want to be to the action that's going on. And there's always many, many things going on at the same time. So if you're more interested in one than the other, then you just shift your focus. So I think those are the strengths of the show.
That's great. Well, and part of what you're saying, too, is that it's got an experimental quality that you're not likely to find in a typical, offered by a typical theater troupe.
Right.
And that, and it also has this musically rich element, so that the production values are sound while also having this kind of edgy experimental feel.
Right.
And that's the sort of thing that you can't typically encounter unless you live in a big city, or you live right here in the city of Davis and you have the Mondavi Center and theater and dance to depend upon. Well, Dylan Bowles, the composer, one of the formative voices behind the Moby Dick Variations, which opens tomorrow at the Mondavi Center, runs through the weekend and then next weekend as well. Thank you so much for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, stick around, folks, because in just a moment, I'm going to get Susan Winkleman on the live line. She's going to tell us about an art and poetry event that's coming up. I'll also remind you that tonight I will be at Bistro 33, for at 8:30 p.m., we will begin Poetry Night. It's the first Wednesday in May, so of course it's Poetry Night at Bistro 33 at 8:30 with Greg Glasner, winner of the Walt Whitman Award for American Poetry. Stick around, and we'll be back with more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. Greg Glasner is going to be reading his poetry at Bistro 33 tonight. Who will be opening for him? None other than Kenya Mitchell. Kenya Mitchell is a now local poet who earned a master's degree at Harvard University, working on her PhD in education here at UC Davis. An accomplished poet who's got a book of poetry out. She'll be reading from that and other works to open up for Greg Glasner tonight, beginning at 8:30 at Bistro 33. Joe Finkelman has joined me on the live line. And live he is, one of the most active progenitors of poetry, art, culture, and good fashion sense here in the city of Davis. He's enjoyed basking in the limelight since his birth in Hollywood, California. These days he hangs out on stage performing two-voice poetry with his wife Susan, or at galleries where he shows both photography and watercolor. He has a BFA and MFA from the San Francisco Art Institute. He was also a literature major with a journalism minor once upon a time, a history buff, a voracious appetite for books and gourmet food, and he's been very active locally, helping us all recognize the importance of art, culture, poetry, and performance here in the city of Davis. He's got an event coming up that he's helped to sponsor, and I wanted to give him a chance to come tell us about it. Joseph Finkelman, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Well, I want to thank you for all that, Dr. Andy, but you've seen me way too often to know about my fashion sense, so everything else was right on, though.
That was an inside joke between your wife and myself.
Ah, yes, she does try to work on that.
Well,
we're going to have an amazing event soon.
Tell us about it.
Oliver Gagliani was a Northern California artist, and I say was because he was has been deceased for several years. But he was very, very active in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and through even the turn of the century here. Shown throughout Europe and North America in major museum venues. And he, when he was a relatively young man, used to hang out with people like Minor White and Ansel Adams, and was a student of theirs. But he went on to become an institution in himself. His style was very unique, very interesting man. He believed that there was a spirit in things, and it was his job to metaphorically reveal that spirit. And it's a tremendous thing. When you're in the presence of his pictures, it changes you. And that really is just what art does. And so we have been granted the exhibition by the family at Gallery 1855, which, as you know, is at 820 Poline Road, corner of 8th and Poline, at the Davis Cemetery District's office. And we're having an opening reception, and his daughter will be there on May 8th, which is Mother's Day, between 1 and 4. And so what I was hoping was that people here in Davis would want to support the family for granting us this exhibition and going to quite a lot of trouble, actually, to frame and mat it for us. And also just the fact that we're having a major, major artist show here, something that's very unusual. So that was the exciting event.
It's a great opportunity for people here in the city of Davis, and a coup for those of you who work at the cemetery. I know that you and your wife have done a lot of work to offer events there, poetry readings, art and photography showings, and to extend the performing and visual culture that many of us associate with downtown Davis, to extend that east over to the cemetery district there at the corner of 8th and Poline, so that we have additional opportunities to see some examples of this rich artistic variety and deep quality that you've brought to Davis. Do you have some sort of web representation of this event? Where would people go if they wanted to find out more information?
All they need to do is Google Davis Cemetery. It'll bring our web page up. You will be able to see some examples. We have some real low-res images there. We didn't want to have, well, we couldn't get anything but low-res images, so that's right. What we have. But they don't give a, other than a clue, they don't give any sense of the richness of this work. This is one of those situations that reproductions, no matter how well done, and I have several books of his work, side by side to the original print, and you just, it just doesn't make it. These are a very, very rare experience in being able to see photographic art at the absolute cutting edge of technology. He was not only an incredible artist, his vision was magnificent, and he could have stopped right there.
Right.
But he was a consummate technician, and to the point where if you give a really, really, really good photographer one of Gagliani's negatives, the probability is slight that you can match his printing ability. And that's, you know, difficult to say because, you know, I have a great deal of experience, and I've been looking at these pictures now for a while, and I have to tell you, I couldn't print what he printed.
Oh, really?
And that's just knocks me out.
Absolutely. Well, have a chance to knock many more of us out this coming Sunday, May 8th, Mother's Day. Tell me again the hours starting at 1 o'clock?
Between 1 and 4 is the opening reception, but the exhibition will be up the entire month of May. Please come over anytime during business hours, Monday through Friday. And, of course, we would love to see you on the opening reception so that, you know, the family can actually enjoy and experience the public seeing this incredible artist's work. It will mean a lot to the family, and I think it'll mean a lot to anybody who sees this work.
Absolutely. Well, Joe Finkelman, thank you so much for coming on the radio show again to tell us about this important cultural opportunity, and I hope to see you this coming Sunday, Mother's Day, over at the offices of the Davis Cemetery.
Thank you very much, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you.
All right, take care.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I'd like to thank all of you for listening in this afternoon, and I'd like to thank my guests, Joe Finkelman, and before that, the composer of the Moby Dick variations, Dylan Bowles, who whose work will be represented starting tomorrow night at the Mondavi Center's Vanderhoof Studio Theater. I'm heading soon off to Bistro 33 to meet Greg Glasner. I get to introduce him tonight at Poetry Night. That's at 226 F Street, starting at 8:30 this evening, the 4th of May. Perhaps I'll see you there. Boy, I've got some great guests scheduled each of the Wednesdays all the way through May and into June. So I hope that next week, when I tune in and say these magic words, that I'll hear you in spirit listening to me chat with new guests on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you next week.